There was another important reason why the imperial government was running short of its currency and bills, is that not only were there the ill-advised setbacks and projects under Manuel I, the imperial government was still committed to very high patronage in the arts, in its religious life, expenditures on churches, and all ceremonial costs. And these were not cut. Far from it. The empire is still trying to project this image of being a great, powerful state, even after 1180, when that was not the case. So on the one hand, they have all these bills to pay. They're debasing the currency. On the other hand, where we would think there would be some kind of fiscal responsibility and cutback in ceremonial costs and buildings and maintaining the buildings, that was not the case. They could not compromise on it. And finally, there was an irony in all of this, and that is the great prosperity that came out of the 10th and 11th century and was revived in the 12th century. That prosperity ultimately came to play to the advantage of what I would call local dynasts. And this had to do with political policy. There was a political decision taken by Alexis I that ultimately his great-grandson, the little infant emperor Alexis II, and then the later Angelin emperors, they had to pay the cost. The way the aristocracy had been compensated after 1071, or after 1081 when Alexis came to the throne, was to be given these hereditary imperial-sounding titles. And these titles, like Hooper Pan Sebastos, they all sound like emperor, but you're not really an emperor. All of these titles, which Anna Komnena thought were so clever, were hereditary titles, but they carried with them no sense of service, no responsibility, and they were inherited and proliferated across the great 30 families of the Byzantine imperial aristocracy. And after 1180, you had, in the opinion of some historians, essentially a consortium of 30 great families that now dominated political office, dominated the high ecclesiastical offices in Constantinople, had prospered on all of this economic development, and all of them had a sense of dignity and independence and were more than willing to express that by seizing an area and carving it out as their own independent domain. And we see this in Cyprus, where there's a rebellion by Isaac Comnenus to set up his own state in Cyprus. In 1204, there's a revolt in Trebizond on the Black Sea, and a Comnenian prince, and Alexis Comnenus, declares himself emperor in April 1204, and then gets the news that Constantinople's been sacked by the Latins, and says, oh, well, fine, I'm really against the Latins, but this was a revolt to carve out his own empire anyway, and it didn't matter whether the government was Byzantine or Latin in Constantinople. Even the so-called breakaway movements in the Balkans, the Serbians, the Bulgarians, these two were essentially upper-class Byzantine provincial elites who had prospered on all of the economic changes, who had the dignity and the sense of themselves that they could now carve out their own states. And these were not necessarily a national revival of Bulgarian or Serbian independence as so much as satisfying the political aspirations of these elites who had prospered in the 12th century. And so the irony is that what happened after 1180 is that the imperial government lost control over its tax base, lost control over its recruits, and at the same time, those great families ennobled by the early Comnenian emperors were now in a position economically, politically, with family connections, that they could begin carving out their own states. And so when the members of the Fourth Crusade arrive at Constantinople and put the city under siege, this whole economic and social change explains some very embarrassing features about the Byzantine state. One was, never was a larger city besieged by so few. The Crusaders were able to take the city because the city received no assistance from provincial governors. And second, once the city was captured by the Crusaders themselves could set up their own feudal institutions and their own states on the basis of that Byzantine economy. And that was the irony of Byzantine economic success in the 12th century.